Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug, it's Thursday, February 22nd. Happy New Year.
Are you going to make it the whole year doing that?
I don't know. I mean,
I love it.
We'll see. We'll see who doesn't like it, because I've been finding that it gets a laugh now. Like last night, I did stand up and I said, "Happy New Year," and it got the audience laughed. Like, you know, hey, it's too late for that.
Couple holidays in.
That's why I think it might be fun. See if I can, you know, ride this puppy to like September. just, you know, Happy New Year, everybody. Our guest today really fits in with the concept of nominative determinism, because he has become his initials. What? How is that? Well, you're just going to have to listen to find out. His name is Josh Adam Myers, so that's another thing. It's always exciting to get a triple where, you know, all three names are just out there. That's his, you know, professional name. And we'll get into the hows and whys of that as well. Have you met him before, Doug?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Well, then let's stick with when I introduce you to him, just stick with a firm we have not met.
Nah.
Instead of I'm not sure.
Because yeah, that's most not comics. That welcoming. I don't know.
It's not that welcoming.
But you know how it is. Like, we meet so many people.
No, I get it. But when you're just like, yeah, I don't know if I met this guy. Well, you don't know. Like, you probably.
Well,
have.
It's also bad sometimes you're like, no. And they're like, you don't remember. And it's like, fuck.
Right. I know. You're damned if you do or if you don't. You're damned if you dug. You're damned if you dug. let's go to work. Hello, Josh Adam Myers. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, buddy.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm getting ready to see Pantera tonight, so I'm gonna cover my body in phone books, and I'm gonna go in there to make sure I don't get stabbed or punched in a weird kidney. I feel like my kidneys are like the weakest link on my body, so I got to protect those.
I fear though for your kidney, even on the other side of a phone book, because I feel like if somebody punches a phone book hard enough that's on the other side of your kidney, that would be obviously would protect it a little bit.
Sure.
But also, where are you going to get these phone books? Do they still exist?
I haven't even thought of that yet. I don't even know. That's crazy. Like, how long has a phone book been out of commish?
I see, you know, I used to see them, it feels like, you know, maybe pre-pandemic or something, they'd be stacked up like in the lobby of a building or something.
Yeah.
And all the residents would just ignore it until they throw it all out, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like such a waste.
What's the longest you've ever kept something in your building's common area before bringing it up to your apartment, like a package or anything that's just, you know, it's an annoyance to people?
Well, you know, that's the thing is you got to get your stuff out of there these days because of the old package thieves.
Yes.
Like, you can't really get away with just leaving something sitting there just because you don't feel like lugging it upstairs or whatever. But I find a lot of people just put the most interesting things. They just put it next to the garbage. Like in L.A. in particular, there's just sort of this, oh, if I leave a big piece of furniture out on the sidewalk, they'll just they'll just magically take it away, which is true. It does happen, but it's still interesting to me that people are so casual about, you know, doing that.
I had my podcast producer for the 500, my music podcast. He sent me like mock-ups of our new merch that he's sending to the Patreon people. And he sent me a box of probably 22 hoodies in various sizes, all the way up to like triple and quadruple X, and a shitload of t-shirts. And I'm a minimalist. I live in New York City, no storage room. I left that box down there for realistically 6-7 months, I would say. Oh, and if any time somebody would be tell me they like, hey man, you gotta move this box, I'd be like, I'd have it open, but I had another box on top of it. I'd open up the box and go, you want a hoodie? I was like, you look a little cold here, take this. And I'd give them a hoodie and they would shut the fuck up about it and be like, all right, yeah, I guess it'll stay there for a little bit longer. And then one day it just magically disappeared.
Oh, so you just didn't even get the stuff that was in the box.
What am I going to do? It, dude, what am I going to do with 22 hoodies?
You know, I mean, I've never heard of a hoodie cannon, but, you know, you can just hurl them into the crowd old school style, especially on a cold night. You know, the ladies would like to use them as a blanket, maybe over their legs.
Yes, I thought about just leaving it out on the corner of 22nd and First, like, which is the area that I live in. And we, you know, it's New York. So there are people that are, you know, without homes, or we really don't. I'm not going to say the area that I live in is like bad, but there are people that I see on the street that are like regulars, I guess. And I would have left it. And I think I should have, because then it's just promoting my podcast. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Which so I did.
It's that kind knows? Of street marketing that really, really makes a difference.
Yeah, dude. I really started at the ground level and then worked my way up to buying geo-targeted ads.
Well, so in the cold open that we record before we talk to our guest, Doug and I were discussing how, like, the two of you may have cross paths at some point because as stand-up comedians, but during the theme song it occurred to me that you were both at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival do you remember meeting Doug Mellard? He was the host of a stand-up show that you were on.
Yes, I do. You look incredible, buddy. I do remember you. What a great guy. That's so cool. I didn't know what I was walking into today. I didn't know if we were talking movies, we're talking weed. So I have Young Frankenstein playing and I have a bong lit up in front of me just so I can be prepared for anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds like you're ready for two shows that I do that aren't this one.
Yeah.
This is... You know, just for anybody just joining us for the first time, because they're Josh Adam Myers fans, Doug and I started doing this show because we live in different cities. He's in Austin, I'm in Los Angeles. And so during the pandemic, everything was happening over Zoom. So we just started a podcast called Wide World of Dougs. That's basically two Dougs talking to various comedians and actors and people about their name and how they think it has affected their life, and so that's why there's, you know, two of us interviewing one person. And
yeah, dig it.
Yeah, and we've done a few live ones, but it's still mostly a Zoom thing, so that's why we can get you in New York. So this is really tri-coastal, this particular episode. Yeah. And, you know, normally we go through the guest names, you know, part by part or whatever, but I just want to skip ahead with you, Josh Adam Myers, because we already know all three parts of your name and what your initials would be. And, you know, it's dawned on me before that you have a show that where, you know, that has... the word jam, you know, in the title, but like, so do you feel like having the initials that spell jam, do you feel like that pointed you in the direction of how much you do involving music in your career?
No.
It's just a fun coincidence.
It's just it's happenstance, man. Yeah, because I didn't even think about, you know, the goddamn comedy jam, the jam part. It wasn't planned. Like, this is a cool thing that will have your name in it. It was my guitarist Joel said the goddamn comedy jam. We were trying to come up with an idea for what this show would be when we did the first iteration of it. And then it was like, it was more just because it sounded cool, like the goddamn comedy jam. Because I remember he goes, it sounds like the Catalina wine mixer. It just rolls off the tongue. And it wasn't until the show started taking off that everybody was like, oh, and you know that, like, it's, oh, I just realized it's jam, the goddamn comedy jam, your name's jam. And then I just act like it was planned the whole time, but it literally was just a happy accident.
Yeah, that's, I thought that could be the case. That's why I, you know, wanted to ask about it right away, because, you know, and it's also one of those things, when you see it written down, you think of it like, oh, that's his initials. And then other times, it's just a perfect name for a show, which is basically a music jam with comedians.
Yeah.
And, you know, and goddamn, like you're saying, just the flow of that is so perfect.
I don't know if this is what you want right now, but, you know, the Josh Adam Myers it wasn't my idea. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to be Josh Myers, and I was told I can't be Josh Myers when I started stand-up comedy by Bobby Lee.
Because
you want the story now? You want me to dive into
this?
Sure. This is my whole life it's been Josh Myers or Joshua Myers. Really, Joshua Myers is only something my mom would say. Nobody ever called me Joshua. It's so funny as I've gotten older, I love Joshua more than I like Josh. Like, Joshua sounds, you know, like a French New Wave, Joshua Myers, like a French New Wave cinema director, like Hiroshima Mon Amour. Like, Josh Myers sounds like a very Jewy, you know, it's we're going to Josh Myers' bar mitzvah on Tuesday. Like, it just sounds very like Schmeckel and like, you know, that kind of shit. So, which Schmeckel means dick, by the way. I don't know why that came. It just sounds very Semitic.
Well,
so,
did you ever think about Josh Schmeckel?
Joshua Schmeckel. No, but you'll hear something funny. The first, I was in 1997 when Wu-Tang was big. Me and three of my buddies started a hip hop group called Da Shekels. So close to Schmeckel, but it's Da Shekels, which is Jewish money. So it was Da Shekels.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was great, dude. I have every album too. Dude, I have like 6 tapes of all of our records. First 3 are crap, but then we found our voice on Sergeant Buddha's Smokey Bong Club Band, which is more of like a concept record. Like, it's our Dark Side of the Moon. And then we finally got a good producer, put out Da Shekels 5. And then we broke up, but then me and them, we got together like maybe like 6 months later, and we made like a greatest hits. And I have all of it. I have everything, dude. It's fucking insane. That it's horrible music, by the way. It's not good. But I love it. It's just such a time of my life. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh man, it just takes you back to like 1997, 98, you know. Wu-Tang swept the suburbs. We all can agree on that. Like, white 17 to 25 year old white men like fell in love with Wu-Tang.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched it happen to some dudes. All right. So now
story?
That we got that out of the way, that was quite a journey. And now I've got some warm-up questions for you before we get back to your name.
Okay.
Starting with, these are all things that are sort of name related in terms of it's kind of the names you choose for yourself. It's like things that are permanent in your life that you got to decide what it was called, instead of obviously you didn't pick your own name. So starting with, what's your tattoo situation?
So I actually have my initials tattooed on my wrist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have JM on my wrist. I copied off of my friend Jason Moyer, who was much cooler than me. Big football player at my school. He was one of the first guys I knew that got tattoos, and he had got his initials tattooed. And then, you know, I, for the first tattoo I got was just something I picked off a wall, which I now have covered up. It was just some like weird tribal thing. Cause I was so broke when I was in my, like, you know, 1920, when I started getting tattoos, that I just got like the bare minimum of what you could get. That's either on the board or like a couple letters. So at this point now, I like all my tattoos, and I would say I have.
Wait, hang on a second. Wait, but let's back up to the one that you covered up.
Sure.
I mean, because Doug Mellard has covered up some tattoos, but it's usually because it involves a name or something that you've like moved on from or don't want to think about again. But I've never heard of someone covering up just a tattoo just because you just didn't think it was that great of a tattoo, like you just weren't into it.
It was something I just picked off a wall, so, and it didn't make sense. It didn't, like, I go into I think it was called Anchors or something in Rockville, Maryland, and I did I drive there. I think I took a fucking the metro bus there, and I go in and I just for like an hour and 20 minutes, just, I was getting a tattoo. I didn't know what it was. And I'm just looking at the wall and looking at the wall. And I'd say, how much is this? And the guy would be like, you know, it's $275. I'm like, all right, well, I don't have that money. No, how much is this? And he goes, that's $200. And then I go like, how much is this? And he goes, hey man, how much money do you have? I go, I can spend $150. He goes, I'll do that for $150. And I was just like, okay. And, and it was like, it was horrible, dude. It was this like,
I got one of those. Yeah.
Oh, dude. But on your left, like wrist forearm, like it was, I would say it's 6 inches long.
Oh.
The average size of a penis. I would say an average penis size, dead center on my inner wrist, a daggery. I mean, it, what was funny was it had no meaning, but some Indian dude that worked at like a 7-Eleven once when I was paying for something, he said, oh, that's the symbol of Vishnu or something. And I was like, you really? And like, I was so happy. I was like, please tell me it means something.
You should tell people that you covered it up because you broke up with that tribe.
I converted. Yeah. But that was this like, just, I mean, it was terrible. And I tried to like add to it to make it better. Like I added like just black ink. And so I tried to add these like little red flares and then my birth year. And it just made it look even more devilish and shitty. Like it was very like, you know, Dubuque, Iowa, bad Slipknot, you know, death. It just looks so bad. And eventually, which is right after the goddamn comedy jam started taking off in February of 2015, I had met this couple that owned Royal Heritage Tattoos that is now in the West Side, like Santa Monica, but it used to be on Crescent Heights in West Hollywood. And they were like, yeah, this is what I want to get a cover up. There, we got the guy, and he was like, what do you want? And I was like, and I met with the guy. I said, well, I want to do like a goddamn comedy jam thing. So I gave him like the logo of the jam, which is one half of the face of Axl Rose, one half of the face of Lenny Bruce. And he, I mean, not only just murdered it so well, but it's like the face looks so good. And that's above the cover up. And then he turned the weird tribal thing into like a rose, like a dark rose. It really looks cool. And I mean, if you look, you can see the tribal thing. But it's so covered up that it's like you're almost like you don't. You, it's just thank God, thank God, you know.
So then, so what's next? So that's one tattoo. But how many total?
I'd say one. I mean, under 20, maybe like 15.
I love a guest that can only ballpark the number of tattoos that they have.
I could count them real quick, but it's like there's so many little ones, and then there's been alterations, and
it's
like,
over the course of years, you just kind of, it just ends up just kind of being there. You don't really think about it
ever.
Like when you're starting out, it's like, oh, I got three tattoos, but then over the course of time, it's like, I don't fucking know. Plus,
Dude.
that one got covered up. Does that mean that's two tattoos in one, or is
Yeah,
that one tattoo? Yeah.
what you know what's funny though, it's like you'll get it done and then you'll immediately like, fuck, wait, should I have gotten this there? Oh, that should be there. And you think about that, and then just one day you just accept that it's never going away and you go, all right, it's not horrible, even though you just kind of hate it. Like I got this Scorpio on my arm, on this dead, this like this blank area on my left arm, which is where I have most of my artwork. And it's like, I don't hate it. I just wish it was 3 inches to the left. Do you know what I mean? If I just would have had it over there, it's dead center. And then I'm like, maybe I can turn the Scorpio into the face hugger from Aliens. And then that would be something I would really be like proud to showcase. Because just a Scorpio seems like pretty basic bitch, but especially as somebody that is a Scorpio, which was the deciding factor of why I got it. So, wah, wah.
Did
you want it placed
that's
where
I
you got
got
it? And, or did the tattoo artist just say, actually, I think it'd be better over here? And you're like, fuck it, sure.
So I'm on tour this summer. I was on tour with Jelly Roll. I was there for about 2.5 months, and almost every other city we had a tattoo guy that would just do shit for free, but like for tips. And sometimes they'd have like a piece of paper of what we were going. We all got one tattoo that was all the same, the Backroad Baptism 2023. Like it's like a church steeple thing. And we all got that. Everybody that either worked on the tour or whatever. Then there would just be random ones. Like I got like on my right leg, I have one that just says 80 days, which is how long the tour was that me and another guy got. And then I've got like a five, but like the Roman numeral five behind my ear, which is for bus five, the bus that I lived on for 3 months. And then I just have Wichita, which is 91, not 91, it's 316 area code, but I was throwing dice. And when I would roll a three, a one, and a six, I would yell out Wichita. And so I got, and I'm not even from Wichita. Like I'm from Maryland.
These all these numbers and symbols are going to be so much fun to you for you to figure out in your old age. Like you're gonna like have this weird roadmap to various experiences if you can remember.
I mean, I think that ultimately. There's like as long as I stay sharp, and I take my what is that, the brain fuel that Rogan takes, the on it mushroom blend, what is that called, what the fuck is that called, muscle
Like you're
brain,
trying to remember something called
yeah,
brain
maybe I
fuel.
do need it. Or what's the stuff that Pete Holmes is always promoting, the moon tropics,
Oh,
or
yeah. He's
dude,
got
he
some sort of beverage he has 15
Magic
minutes
Mind.
before he goes on stage.
Fuck, I need that. I need that before a podcast. I needed that at the beginning of the year so I could remember to pay my health insurance. But yeah, but like it's I think that when you really like the majority of the tattoos that I have on my body now all have some sort of meaning or are, because even the Scorpio, you're like, well, I am a Scorpio, so it's not stupid that I have one on there. It's like, oh, well, that represents November and whatever. But the majority of all the shit, like I covered up that bad tattoo with the face smash of Axl Rose and Lenny Bruce, and then on the other side I have Simpsons characters as Clockwork Orange characters, but my favorite Simpsons characters. So I have Sim Homer, Ralph, Mo Sizlak, and the main reason I wanted to get it was for Agnes Skinner, because I love her so much. So I have them all on my arm, and then the other side of that arm is all Pee-wee's Playhouse stuff. So
Oh,
I
cool.
have yeah. So I have Jambi, like a face of Jambi. I have Pee-wee's bike, and then I have like the Satan Helpers logo.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all like pop stuff.
There's some, I didn't click on the picture, but today there's some politician is trending because people are saying he looks like Pee-wee Herman. And I don't know what his name is, but I didn't click on it also because I was like, I don't want to see some shitty politician that looks like Pee-wee Herman. I don't want to besmirch Pee-wee's memory this way. Plus,
Yeah.
also, You know how people are too, though. I feel like I'd click on it and go, that doesn't look, it looks like Pee-wee Herman just got like his hair greased back, or you know, there's some specific thing. Maybe he wears a dumb bow tie or something. But all right, so I'm gonna put down for number of tattoos, unknown by anyone.
Yeah,
it's just a mystery at this point. And then we got to take a break. When we come back, we've just got a few more warm-up questions, and then we're going to get into the full jam of it all. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back and rested. Those commercials were amazing. I'm sorry there weren't any for the Pete Holmes Miracle Drink.
But, Moon Tropics.
So, Josh Adam Myers, have you in your lifetime had the opportunity to name any pets, any doggies or kitties?
I've had three that I've had my hand in, and then like
contributing.
Yeah, I only I contributed to our first pet in my childhood, like with my family pet. And that was Mookie. We had a cat named Mookie, Mookie. And that was because me and my sister, I think we were watching Do the Right Thing, and we really liked Mookie, the character. We liked the Spike Lee character from that. And I think it's just a cool name, Mookie.
It'd be funny if you named the cat Mookie because it likes throwing garbage cans through windows.
yeah. Thank goodness for the left nipple. Thank goodness for the right.
Okay, so and then as time went on, it sounds like you got involved in the naming of several pets. Where it was your decision?
Yes. So I have two pets. Yeah, two pets that were mine. One passed away, and one I still have. So my first dog was a miniature Doberman Pinscher, and his name was Jazz, Jazz, because I think when I was like in my, I still love Jazz a lot, but I had just gotten really into Jazz in my mid 20s, I'd say like 24. And so I just thought that was like a cool name for the dog. The dog had nothing to do with Jazz. It didn't, if I put it on, it couldn't have given a shit. And, you know, it wasn't hip. It just was a fucking dog with a cool name.
You couldn't train the dog to do a special little jazzy dance.
Yeah. I was maybe I could get it to scat. Like, I wish I could, yeah. But maybe this dog, maybe the dog that I have now, that's a name. This one I'm very proud of. And, okay. And Doug, you laughed when I said the thing about Pee-wee's, not laughed, but I found a connection, Doug Mellard, when we talked about Pee-wee's Playhouse. So,
oh, I love Pee-wee.
So my dog, the Doberman, I have an 80-pound female Doberman, well-trained service animal. I take her everywhere. Her name is Lekka. Lekka, Lekka, after Mecha Lekka High, Mecha High Neho.
Yeah,
and yeah, so originally I was going to name her, what was it? Fuck. It was like Beckley. I think that's what's on her emotional support certificate. But I the next morning I was walking her and I said Lekka. I was like, Lekka. And because me and my buddy used to say that as we backpacked through Europe, we used to say like, just, we used to just get high and just be like, Mecca, Lecca. It was just a thing, speaking another language when you're delirious, traveling from one country to the next and you haven't been eating properly, but drinking heavy. And so the short story is just, is like, I brought her outside and she's pooping and I just go, Lecca. And she looked at me and I go, that's her name. And then, which is way cooler because Lecca also is, it means delicious in German and it means cool in South African.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if just kept, if kept refrigerated, that dog is delicious and cool.
Yeah.
So what about, moving on from animals, another thing that sometimes people give names to are like, you know, boats, houses, cars, things like that. Are you a person who does that? Do you give names to?
No, not really. I don't have a name for, like, you know, like I met people or they've done like a Newlywed Game, what's your name for your penis? And you're like, you know, the hammer. And I'm like, no, I never named any inanimate objects or anything. Dogs, of course. And I think the dog namings are the best because, you know, as a dog, you can really have fun with it, which really upsets me when people get dogs and they name it like Eric. Like, go fuck yourself, dude. Like,
but sometimes it's funny. It depends on the dog. Like, you know, I mean, Eric is a terrible name for a dog, but I just, if it's just the right dog looking at you after calling it Eric, it could be could be fun. But sure. I hear you though. Like, you know, well, how do you feel about people that, you know, add like Mr. or something to the beginning of a name?
I think, you know, that would,
Mr. Bojangles.
Yeah, that's great. Like, I love, like, you know, if it was like Eric Excelsior the Third or like, you know, Sir Eric of Flufflesworth, like some shit like that. Yeah, dude, I'm all for that. Give it a you know, a flag and a crest and make it a strong family, you know, with a creed.
Yeah, just one Sir name Eric will not do for you. You can't just give a dog, you just can't call it Shirley and leave it at that.
Shirley's fine. Shirley actually is fine. Shirley, like, there's certain names. Like Gertie would be good for a dog's name. Gertie, yeah. Some that hasn't been said in years, like a Mildred or a Blanche. All of my
I thought of a good one.
What do you got?
Babette.
Perfect. I knew a Babette. Babette,
especially if it's like a bulldog or something, you know.
By the way,
the less cute, the better for Babette.
So funny that you say that. There was a girl, I'm not gonna say her full name, but there's a girl that I knew, the only Babette I've ever met in my life, that in high school and middle school was like, well, really middle school into ninth, so odd grade, she was like really nerdy looking, and then the She's All That thing where they just took their glasses off of her. And you're like, this is the hottest woman that's ever lived. And is suddenly dating, like, I mean, talking like a dork, like a fucking spaz. And then like by 11th grade, you're like, good God, you're Claudia Schiffer. Like, insanely hot.
Yeah, just grow into it sometimes. Just to, you know, have a awkward phase or what have you. So you have a podcast, Josh, that's mentioned earlier in the show, called The 500.
Yeah.
And so how did you tell us the premise of the show, and then I guess that explains why it's called The 500.
I am going through Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest albums. It started as like, it didn't start as a podcast. It started as just like, oh, I'm just going to listen to 500 records over 500 days and like post about them. And then I got through like 3 days, and a bunch of comics would like, not just comics, but people would reach out and be like, oh my God, this album is like reminds me of this, and when this was what was going on when I first heard it, and I was touring this place, and then I was like, oh shit, this is a podcast. And so basically we talk about the record. It's like a book club. We talk about the record, we talk about the facts, we talk about the important stuff that needs to be talked about. But being that I'm not like Matt Pinfield or like a music historian, there's only so much I can say about like this song sounds like X. So I use the album as a roadmap to interview the guest. So if this song is about, you know, something that happened to you in your childhood that was big, like, oh, we'll talk about that. Or we'll talk about, I try to use, this is about, you know, about like being awkward in high school. What was your awkward experience in high school like? And so it's a fun way to show how the art and life are basically symbiotic, and it's all the same shit. So we've been doing it for about 5.5 years, man. And I've almost quit, like, you know, a lot, because the thing was, like, when I came up with the idea and I was doing another podcast, and my producer got mad at me. He goes, dude, what are you talking about? He said, we've done 9 episodes of this other podcast. And I go, bro, this is a $1 million idea that we're going to sell to Spotify. I was like, 100% we're going to sell it to Spotify. We released 13 episodes. And I remember I was at the Whiskey waiting for Kiss to go on. They were doing a special performance, and I had snuck in because I knew the bouncer. And the guy told me just to seem busy. He goes, all the people are here for either Sirius XM or they're with the Whiskey. So no one fucking knows who's who. So you'll just sit here and do work. And I sat there and I got that email from Bart Coleman at Spotify, who used to be the booker for, you know, At Midnight. He might be the booker now for After Midnight, I'm not sure. But he, great dude. He had worked on my TV show of the Comedy Jam, and he was working at Spotify. And so he turned it into a Spotify podcast. They paid me an absurd amount of money to do it for about a year. And then the second they signed the Joe Rogan deal, they cut me. But we carried on. And so it's hard to go from like no money to a lot of money to no money again, and then have to build it back up and keep that same like oomph. But dude, I love it. And both of you guys, I would love to have you guys on, man. I've got another 4 years left of it. The albums are getting great, and it's fun, man, because we get to talk to like Doug, like, what's your favorite, like, what's your go-to album? Like, just if you have one, you know, like, what is it? Either.
Yeah,
you.
Doug. Wait, which Doug?
Both of y'all. Think of,
what am I listening to most recently? I do listen to a lot of jazz, but that's neither here nor there.
The culture has become, you know, the album isn't what it used to be. Like, there's no current albums that I like just sit down and, you know, listen to a whole album. You know, it'd have to be something classic. And I've seen the Rolling Stone list and, you know, thought about it. And, you know, thinking more in terms of like, it's more of a jumping off point for a conversation, then sure, there's a lot of albums I could do. But I was just sort of looking at it like, what's an album I could really talk about? Like, I know all the tracks, and they were either taken or, you know, not on the list. Cause also there's not many that I can speak to that way. It's like when I was in my teens, maybe I knew some albums and listened to them like in their entirety. But then as soon as I got older and there was like such a thing as like shuffle on your whatever device you were listening on, you know, I just became more, you know, single oriented. Did you think of one, Doug?
Well, you know what's crazy is that I'll give re-listens to like classics if I never really, in quotes, got it before. Like, if it's just a sound that didn't vibe with me, I always go back. As we get older, your taste changes all the time.
100%.
And I am currently, out of the blue, really into Joy Division, and for whatever reason it never like clicked with me. And now I'm like, I fucking love Joy Division. I just did that with Pavement recently. Like, I like giving re-listens to stuff that I know is genius, but for whatever reason, I wasn't into it before, and see if it fits now. And it definitely does, both of those.
We just did Pavement. Was it Crooked Rain? It's cool because we get like huge guests because people want to talk about anything other than their career, and we bring them in with the, oh, we're only going to be talking, we're not only, but I say we're going to be talking about the record that you love. And so for Pavement, we got, for Crooked Rain, we got Rainn Wilson, you know, from the office. And we've gotten huge guests. And I mean, anywhere from the biggest comics, like, you know, Bill Burr a couple times, and Jim Jefferies, and Wanda Sykes, and Judd Apatow a few times, to we've had, I mean, Tom Hanks's wife, Rita Wilson, has been on. We've had actual rock stars, Brandon Boyd from Incubus talking about Jeff Buckley, or we had Billy Gibbons talking about ZZ Top, which the Eliminator record, which was really fucking cool.
Oh my God. I mean,
we've had, you know, the really deep cut guys like Mike Watt from the Minutemen talking about Wire. It's a beautiful thing. Al Franken, Senator Al Franken, talking about Grateful Dead. It's we have a great booker, Emily Kagan. She keeps the show alive, because I was talking about how I almost quit. If I was booking the show on my own, like, I would have been done already. It's like the fact that she can get to these people, it's, you know, it's magical. And I think it's what keeps me going. Cause it's just like this, Doug, like, I, you know, before we even met, like, I was a fan of you. Do you remember where we met? Do you remember?
Oh, at Pritzy's?
At Pritzy's. Yes. You would get a vodka gimlet, and I would be the shitty bartender. And then I got fired. Shortly after.
You were a good bartender from my perspective.
Well, I mean, you were very easy, dude.
From the customer perspective, yeah. You were a good bartender.
But I was never a good in the good service industry. And also, I didn't know any of the drinks either. So the vodka gimlet, I started realizing, because I thought you were cool. I was like, oh, it's fucking Doug. Let me master his drink. But you asked me to do a Cosmopolitan, and I'd be fucked. But the thing is, it's like, to be able to, like, this is a gift to be able to talk to people that I respect and that are talented and in the business that we're in, or in a business that you can't do, but you also are, like, fascinated by. And ultimately what's going to keep the show going is, one, the music, because the records are great. And if you listen to the albums, they will make your life better, you know, and especially to go from 1 week to, like, Pavement to then, like, dude, who'd I do today with Wayne Fetterman, Billy Blue Bland, who is this, like, influential blues, almost really created the form of rhythm and blues and soul. And it's just like, I never would have heard this guy's music. And it's something that now will now be a part of my life. And you know it, music touches us in a way, like movies touches us. Like, so I love that you do Doug Loves Movies, because we love movies so much that we watch them and then we go on IMDb when they're done and we find out all the trivia and who played what and who did this, because you become so fascinated with the movie and you just want to know more about it. And I think music, and also it can make you cry and this, and music can do the same thing. It's just, but it just hits this, you know, like, I can have a discussion with you about why a movie sucks, but if I say an album sucks, like, I get people shitting on me, dude. Crazy. Crazy.
People definitely have their opinions and their tastes kind of bleed over into, like, it's some sort of factual statement a lot of times. It drives me nuts. Like, I don't even want to argue with somebody on the internet. It's like, you know, hands down, this is the best album by this band. It's like, well, you can't. That's your opinion, dude.
Sure.
But so do you have to listen to every, like, do you feel obligated to listen to the whole album each time someone's coming on to talk about a specific album?
100%. I do. One, the first listen, I make sure I listen to their album from start to finish all the way through. And it could be on a car ride. It could be in my apartment while I'm doing stuff. But what I really like to do is just kind of like, just hear it the way I think it's meant to be heard, which is all the way through. And it just kind of grabs you a little bit. You find out what you really like and what's good on it and what you're attracted to. And then I don't say I like make notes or anything that first listen, but dude, I used to, and I mean used to, like, sit down and listen to the record and just take notes and write down every little thing about it. And then I would research for 10 hours about every record. Now I have people that do that for me, which is great, because I don't have the time. But I give the album, you know, whereas I used to give it fucking 9 listens. Now I listen to the records usually at least once. I'd say 2 to 3 is probably the tops.
Right. Yeah. It's just the time that you have to put into this is so tremendous.
That,
you know, you can only listen to these things so much, but also has anybody picked an album that you couldn't, it wasn't available anywhere?
Well, it's funny that you say that. You know, when we were doing De La Soul, you couldn't find it anywhere. You couldn't buy it. De La Soul 3 Feet and Under, you couldn't find it anywhere. It was just gone because they had taken it out of that kind of release. So there, what's cool about the, you know, the list and places like Spotify and, you know, even though I like Spotify's the enemy. And Apple Music, it's all the same shit. They're not paying the artists enough. They're not good in that sense. But that's the way of the world now. We're all getting shit like that. There are people out there that if there is like not a playlist, but some of the records are albums, and then some of them are like career retrospects of like Merle Haggard or B.B. King or Muddy Waters. So there are people that put those songs on a playlist together. They label it as the album, and then they kind of like just lay it out. So you can pretty much find everything everywhere at this point now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Worst case, there's always somebody that put it up on YouTube.
No, 100%. And I've listened to records that way too.
Yeah, that's always funny to me, the just the audio things that people will just post on YouTube, and you just sit there and watch a blank screen and listen to the whatever it is. So how many albums have you done out of the 500?
I'll tell you right now where we're at. We are
200
at,
something.
No, dude, we are at, yeah, we're like 200 and 20. I think we're at 200 because I'm taking off 6 weeks. So we're at 214. So we have 214 more to go.
Oh, it's not a full 500. It's
no, it's 500. We've done over 270. I don't know. What's the math on? Hold on. I'll tell you right
286.
Now. We've done 286 episodes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just crazy.
And when did this 500 albums list come out? Like, is it starting to get like dated?
Yes. All right. Funny that you say that. So the list was created in 2003. The first list was 02. Oh, shit. It was 02. Can you hear me? I just tripped over my cord. Are we good?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, cool. So the first list came out in 2002. Then in 08, you know, things moved on, things moved off. And which is the list that we're doing, is the 2012 update, because they didn't do a new list until 2020. And here's the thing, though, the 2012 list is very similar to the 2002 list, with certain things popping on, certain things popping up, certain stuff moving up, certain stuff moving down. The 2012 list to the 2020 list is almost completely different.
Oh, so like some different people came onto the magazine and decided to scrap the whole list and make essentially a new
basic. Well, also, and it was after the summer of George Floyd, because it came out in September of 2020. And you know, that was a time where it was just like diversity. We're changing everything. It's like everybody. And truth be told, the 2002 through the 2012 list were probably all made by like older white guys with a lot of artists putting their stuff in. And the 2020 list, I mean, is just very diverse. And so there's, you know, we went from not one Drake record in there to every one of his records, to every Kanye record. Dude, it was crazy. Outkast Aquemini, which was number 500 on my podcast, it was the first episode that we did, it moved down to like number 49. And then, you know, Lauryn Hill, which was in the 300s, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which is one of my favorite records of all time, moved from like the high threes, 386, I think it was, all the way down to like to the 10th spot. And then Sergeant Pepper, which has been number one throughout all of them, moved from number one to 25. So it's definitely like it's definitely different, you know what I mean?
That's a serious demotion for the pep.
Yeah, dude.
Holy shit. Well, all right. So, yeah, I'm happy to, look at the albums that are still up for grabs. And I'm sure Doug would like to do it, too. Doug would probably.
Yeah, man, I'd love to have you both on. I would love to have you both on. I'll send you both. I'll text you both where we're at, and I'll send you the next 6 months of what needs to be done. And, dude, it's great. Like, I mean it. Like, looking over what I just did, like, U2 War and, Beastie Boys, License to Ill, and New York Dolls and Neil Diamond. It's like, it's all this great music. And now we're starting to get into like the real thick of it. So it's like Pearl Jam 10 and Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. Eventually it started where it would be like good record. What the fuck is this? Never heard of this. Huge record. And I mean, it could be like Stone Roses and Wu-Tang, Enter the 36 Chambers, where you're like, wow, big record that audience wants to listen to the breakdown about. And then the next thing is like Blind Willie Jenkins from the Bayou Boys sessions of 1922. And I mean, it's like that. So it's a hard podcast to grow an audience, but we have about 20,000 to 25,000 listeners an episode.
Yeah, that's a lot of music fans. But I would also imagine just people that enjoy listening to you talk to these, these various people, because yeah, the conversation could just, as we discovered today, it could just go off
anywhere.
It doesn't have to necessarily stick to the topic. Do you have, from the specials and albums and stuff you've done, do you have like a favorite title that you've named something?
I liked this tour that I just did more than anything, which would be Josh Adam Myers Skadoodles America. and it just, you might have met him, Doug Benson, but there was a comedian that passed away in 2012 that was one of my best friends named Angelo Bowers, and he was a brilliant, 100% going to be the next Dave Attell. Like, Sarah Silverman, he worked with Sarah and he worked with Bobby Lee, and he would ghostwrite for all these people, just brilliant setup punchlines. And he was this adorable dork, just a nerdy guy. And he would speak in this like weird language sometimes, just making up words. And so I started doing that because we were friends. And so it's just kind of bled into other things. And it's like something that now me and my friends talk about. And skadoodle is just this one word that I use, that it's like, you don't know what it means, but you kind of do. It's like, if I said Josh Adam Myers Skadoodles America, what would you think skadoodles is the verb for?
Well, I would think just from the old word that's probably spelled slightly different, skadoodle, that to me would seem like you're leaving America. I got
I see that. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
But when one skadoodles America, then I don't know what. You know what I mean? I don't know. I assume that means crossing it or bouncing around. You know, like a skadoodle kind of also sounds like a word like Tigger would use.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I definitely
I've got
see
a skadoodle.
Ooh, I've been skadoodling. But it's just something that it just feels, I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, it's like, just to keep that's like this weird little thing that I have that just makes me still feel like a little kid, just to use that kind of like,
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, scat language. It's cute and it's childish.
Mecca like a honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. And age and old is not real. Like, dude, I knew people that were 25 that I grew up with that were old men already, because they were like, well, I'm married and I have kids and this is my life. And I'm like, dude, I'm 44 and I'm more mature, but I still feel like I'm 15 years old. I still feel that young kid like at my heart. And it's like, the music affects me the same way, and the movies and just life. It's great. So, it's like, never, the last thing you want to do is be like, fucking, like an old man. That's what scares me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't be an old white man in today's society. Nobody needs it.
Oh.
Take it somewhere else. But listen, we're out of time and we didn't even get to
I can tell it to you real quick.
The meat of the conversation. Well, I was going to suggest, would you mind coming back another time? Because
yeah, I'd love that. Oh my God, yeah.
It's a great
story. And it, I mean, it's very quick, but it's like, it really breaks down the ethos of what the entertainment society is and what we do and how absurd it is. Because it wasn't. Yeah, so I think to all the listeners out there, it's worth it. Tune back in. Josh Adam Myers in World of Dougs.
Yeah, we'll do a part two down the road. But for now, could you do your promotional bits? What would you like to promote?
Let's rock. At Josh Adam Myers on all social media. I post clips and videos every day. JoshAdamMyers.com for tickets. Depending on when this comes out. Well, really, I'm taking off some time. I'm going to go on like a spiritual journey for the next 6 weeks as I heal from surgery. But I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, April like 18th through the 20th. The Riot in Houston. I'll be at Laugh Boston. The calendar's filling up for the rest of the year. I'll be on tour doing the goddamn comedy jam in Nashville, Los Angeles, New York. Just go to, you know, just follow me at Josh Adam Myers to find out all updates and listen to the 500. You can find out about it. The 500podcast.com will take you through everything. It's a great podcast, man. And like I said, I'd love to have you guys on.
Yeah, man.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'm into it. Doug Mellard, what do you want to plug?
Find me on Instagram at Doug Mellard, and I'll double down on Moon Tower. Get your tickets now. Get your badges. Yeah. Get your tickets. I'll be there checking out the comedy. You guys, you're a staple there. You're there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Become
you're like the centerpiece. Yeah.
It's really cool, man. Like, you know, we've been doing it there for 6-7 years. I think it's gonna be our 7th year, and they just moved it to, they made it they did it the right way, which Skankfest and JFL Montreal started to do it the right way the last time we did it there. But it's like, make it the last show, push everybody there, make it a party, and it's fun, and Moon Tower does a really good job. And dude, I mean, Austin's a music town too, so it's super easy, and they get it. What's cool about Moon Tower is I can do any song. Like, I don't have to open with something that's like universally known to, you know, to win the crowd over. Like, I can open up with like Midnight Oil, Beds Are Burning, and the crowd is just like, how can we dance when the scootily doodle, and they're just into it, and I love it. So we'll see you there in April. Dude, this was so much fun. Please have me back, and please, dude, any, I would love to, next if you do a Gramercy thing and you got an extra spot or somebody drops out, please, because I live like 3 blocks from there.
Oh yeah, the Gramercy is awesome. I'll totally hit you up when I'm back there. I'm gonna be speaking of cities that are you know, where all the music comes from, I'm gonna be in Bakersfield, California this Saturday. And then I'm going to be in Vegas on March 1st and 2nd. All of my dates are at DougLovesMovies.com. Thank you once again, Josh Adam Myers. We'll definitely set up a part two.
Oh, please. I had a blast. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's just, I needed this too, because it's killed time while I find out if I have health insurance or not, so I can have my surgery. cross your fingers, because if not...
Me, buddy.
Because not, I am fucked.
Well,
skadoodled. I'm skadoodled.
happy to be a distraction for you. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And as always, Doug Damn Comedy Jam.
Got it.